Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning, and be sure to read through the announcements to see all the happenings and events. We keep in our prayers this week the family of Kathy Weishwell. The funeral for her will be on Tuesday, and that will be here in the church at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then at 10 o'clock there'll be a visitation. So visitation at 10, and then 11 o'clock funeral here at St. Paul. And I think, Pam, you got an announcement?
Good morning. Next Sunday, Christian Life will be hosting a reception, a farewell reception for Katie, the secretary. And we would like everyone to come out and wish her well and enjoy some refreshments with us and tell her how much we appreciated all the work she did for St. Paul Lutheran Church. So come out. It's going to be immediately after the church service. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Pam. Jerry, you got one?
Just a reminder that our Sunday school today is going to be out at the cemetery. We're going to have a little Sunday school time during the worship service for the kids and whoever else is there and would like to join us. And then we'll be joining back into the service. And there are special gifts if you come. And also, if you were at the Easter egg hunt and you made one of the decorations for the decoration day, they're out there. So please come and get it.
Yeah, and the Decoration Day service will be today after this worship service. So we'll gather probably around 10:30 this morning is probably about the time we'll start out there at the cemetery. Okay, other announcements? Nothing? Okay. Then we begin with our opening hymn, "There is a Name I Love to Hear." Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the festival of our Lord's resurrection. Graciously help us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks. You may be seated.
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to God, who is the Lord. The first lesson today is from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 150, and we'll read it responsibly. Hallelujah! Praise God in his holy temple. Praise him in the firmament of his power.
Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness.
Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with lyre and harp. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The second lesson is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. You
may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. On this Sunday after Easter, come on up. And I've got something special to share today. Let's see, though. I'm going to ask you to sit by the acolytes. Okay, everybody else, gather around me. Come on up here. Got something special to show you. Come on. Come on over. Take a look. Isn't that neat? Kind of cool, huh? Gee, that's really fantastic, isn't it? And you're going to get one of those, too, later. Okay? All right. Let's go back and sit down. Okay? How you feeling over there? What? Fine? Feel a little left out? You sure? All right, well, come on over and join us. You want to peek at what we're looking at? I'm sorry. Scoot over there. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to sit on you. All right. Kind of hard to look and hold and everything. That's what we were looking at. Kind of cool, huh? All right. Well, guess why we did that? Guess why I had him sit over there? Did you hear the gospel today? There's a special person, one of the disciples by the name of Thomas. And he kind of felt like you did. Kind of over there, left out. Because Jesus came to see the disciples, and he wasn't there. And they went to him and said, "Oh boy, did you see all of this? And we saw the Lord." And he said, "Nope, I don't believe you until I can see him myself. And put my hands in his side where the spear slid him, and put my finger in his nail holes." And so he got a name. His name is now Doubting Thomas, because he doubted that the Lord had come. He wasn't there. He didn't see it. Now, did you believe that there was something good in that box? Because you didn't see it? You didn't know, did you? Well, it's kind of like Thomas a little bit. And Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, but he kind of gets a little bit of a bad thing about that, because there's a philosopher that once said, doubt is the beginning of belief, or the finding of belief. If you doubt something, you have to have a little bit of belief in it, don't you? Because you're thinking, well, is this right or wrong? But you're at least thinking about it. So that's kind of a thing. Doubt is part of belief. But we have the problem of we don't get to see Jesus. And if you're wondering what's in the box, it's a bunch of He Lives stickers with Jesus in it. We don't get to see him, do we? But do you know he's there? And that's what the rest of the gospel says. When he comes back and Thomas is there and he says, "My Lord and my God," and Jesus says, "Did you believe because you saw? How about those who believe because they haven't seen?" That's what we call faith. That's what we do here. Since we can't see Jesus, we come here to hear about him. We come here to talk about him. We have worship. We talk to him in prayer. We see how he answers our prayers. We see what he does in our lives. That's how we see him. And that's how we come to believe. I hope that you do that. I hope that you'll join us out. We're going to continue this talk out at the cemetery today. I hope you'll come out and see as we continue to talk and learn about him so that we know him and can have that faith, even though we can't see him. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who guides our faith.
Even though we have doubts, we ask that you help us with those doubts, that you help us walk through them and perhaps have faith in you as we walk through those doubts. Be with us every day as you promised in the lesson that said you're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're always with us. Be with us every day and help us to grow in faith and help us to come here to learn about that faith and grow. Amen. Have a good day. I hope to see you out there. I've got gifts out there. Don't forget. All right. Have a good one.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Sunday after Easter, every year we read this same text, this story from John. It takes place on that first Easter day and then also a week later. And in this story, we hear about Thomas. And this is known as the Doubting Thomas story because he did doubt. But Thomas kind of gets a bum rap on that because there were others as well who doubted as you read through some of the other passages about the resurrection and the stories after the resurrection. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus meets the disciples back in Galilee. And they came, the disciples and followers came and they worshiped him, but it also says that some doubted. And then we read last week out of Luke's gospel, the resurrection account. Remember the women went to the tomb and they found it empty and they were told that Jesus had risen from the dead and they came rushing back to that upper room where the disciples were and they told the disciples, Jesus is alive. He has been resurrected. And the disciples did not believe it. They said it was idle talk of women. So there's doubt. But doubt can also play an important role. I know even in our society, doubt plays a role. If we think about the justice system, when somebody is arrested, they are considered innocent until proven guilty. There is doubt of their guilt that's built into the system. Or to convict somebody, their evidence must be presented beyond a reasonable doubt. Doubt is not necessarily a bad thing because doubt, like Terry just mentioned, can lead to faith. For Thomas it did, and for us as well then too. Doubt can lead to faith. I know I enjoy teaching a lot of times, whether it's the young kids. I know I did for a number of years the children's sermon and then also with daily chapel over there, our weekly chapel at the Learning Garden. And always enjoyed the kids because of their reactions to things. They would listen. They would pay attention a lot of times, and they're like sponges. They just absorb it. But they also have questions, a number of questions. Some of them are very good. Some of them are very insightful. But it was just the honesty of those children that I much enjoyed. I also enjoy teaching the confirmation class kids because that's kind of a time in their life when there's a transition going from being children to growing up into adulthood. And they're starting to think a little bit deeper, to search what is in life, what is the meaning of life, and where do they fit in life, and how does their faith fit into life. And so there's a lot of questioning, going on, and they want to challenge some points sometimes, and that's good. It's that almost that sense of doubt in there to a certain extent. But it's a doubt in such a way that makes them search and hear. Also, love teaching adults as well then too. The whole gamut of adults, from those who really know hardly anything at all about Christianity to those who have delved into Scripture and do daily Bible studies and been to church every Sunday in their life and come to Sunday school. The whole gamut of adults, because there's always some sorts of questions in there. With those who are new Christians, it's gaining knowledge. They want to know what's going on. They want to believe. And then for those who have studied all their lives, The questions get deep many times, and there's always something new, always something intriguing within scriptures and within faith. And they wonder sometimes, what direction do we go? How do we do this? So doubt's not necessarily a bad thing. It can lead to faith, or it can help build up our faith. Here in the story today, as we read, Thomas was not there on that evening of the first Easter day. But Jesus did come, and he showed the rest of the disciples his hands, his side, and he says, "Peace be with you." And when Jesus came in there and they realized it was Jesus, because again, those disciples also had doubt. Because when the women had come in and said that Jesus was alive, they didn't believe it. But now as they see that, they rejoiced. But then the next week, after the disciples had told Thomas that Jesus was alive, Thomas says, "I need to see. I need to see his hands, I need to see his sides, I need to touch his wounds from the crucifixion." There was doubt. And Thomas was probably more of a hands-on type person. And that's what it takes a lot of times in our doubt. To believe is to be hands-on, to see, to realize what Christianity is all about, to know and to feel within our heart, to be a part of who we are. And a lot of times that's actually doing. It's living out our faith. It goes two ways. It goes not only for the person who has the doubts, but it also goes for those who are receiving blessings from the person who has doubts. So if in our faith we are called to minister to other people, that may be just listening to a troubled neighbor or helping a neighbor out when they are in need. Maybe it's just giving some consolation to someone who is going through some grief or going through some hard times. Maybe it's helping somebody who is struggling in material needs to give them what they need, to give them an extra hand. And when we do ministry in the name of Christ, that's a hands-on way of doing faith. Thomas needed that hands-on way of faith. He needed to see. He needed to see it in action. We too need to see that faith in action, because it works both ways. Not only the person who is sharing their faith, that person who is helping, but it's also the person then too on the receiving end of it. They see people doing things out of Christian love. They realize that this is coming not because they deserve it, maybe because they need it, but it's free. It's an offer of love when we help someone in need. And again, it can be just listening. Maybe it's just giving consolation. Maybe it is helping in physical and material ways. But we share. And on both ends then, blessings are received and our faith grows on both ends as well. For Thomas, the reaction was probably the strongest in this story. When the disciples saw Jesus, they rejoiced. But here, when Thomas sees Jesus and touches the wounds in his hands and in his side and in his feet, he says, "My Lord and my God." He has come to complete belief. There is no more doubt at that point for Thomas. Doubt is not necessarily bad. Doubt can help us to grow, can strengthen our faith in different ways. Where doubt gets us in trouble is when we just give up on it, when we quit, when we drift away, where we don't pursue that doubt, when we don't look for the questions or ask the right questions, or dig into Scripture or go to Bible studies. That's when our doubt gets us in trouble, as we start to drift away from Christ, because then our faith never has a chance to grow, and eventually it will die. If we do not use our faith, it will die. And so don't worry if you have some doubts about some things. Don't worry if you disagree with the preacher from time to time. But study, look at it, dig into it, ask questions, because doubt will help you to believe. You know, one of the things I mentioned, I like teaching. One of the things that I did enjoy about teaching is that it seemed to me when I was teaching, I would learn more than if I were the student. When I'm a student, I do gain knowledge, gain, you know, understanding in a lot of times, but it's actually the teacher a lot of times who actually gains more. And so I encourage you, if you have an opportunity to teach, to talk to somebody about your faith, that's when your faith does grow. God just works in us in that way. And when we live out our faith, you know, even if we have doubts, if we live out our faith, then we too, like Thomas, will say, "My Lord and my God." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The hymn for the day is "Lord Be Glorified." Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in Him, and are sealed with the promise of the Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Lord Jesus, breathe your Holy Spirit upon your church and fill it with your peace. Teach it to proclaim the gospel graciously and boldly, so that all people may worship you as their Lord and their God. Lord, in your mercy. Dwell in the midst of those who are persecuted for your sake. Make them lampstands that shine with the brilliance of your glory and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Pour your Holy Spirit upon this congregation. Give us a hunger for your word, a thirst for your mercy, a vision of your love for all people, and a desire to serve you by serving others in your name, Lord, in your mercy. Give us the persistence and kindness of the disciples who sought out Thomas and drew him back into your presence. Help us to share with those who have lost hope, Lord, in your mercy. Give wisdom, courage, and integrity to our military, first responders, and all who serve the causes of liberty and justice throughout the world. Fill them with a love for your good and gracious will, Lord, in your mercy. Heal the bodies, cheer the spirits, and illumine the hearts of all whose lives are shadowed by sorrow and pain. Renew in them the gifts of faith and hope. Raise them to fullness of life. This day we remember before you the needs of Joe Barnes, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Rosa Harton, Catherine Glore, Lynn McGurra, Janet Lemke, Wesley Medding, Clinton Kaiser, Elaine Molina, Roseanne Jacob, and Joyce Lamprecht. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you promise your resurrection life to all whom you have redeemed. Wipe away the tears of all who grieve. Fill us with the faith to follow you fearlessly and to encourage one another cheerfully. Lead us to your Father's house, where we shall acclaim you as our Lord and our God. Lord, in your mercy. Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us,
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our blessing today is the benediction sung to the tune of Edelweiss. Bind us together.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.